from MLU headquarters in Philadelphia.
You should go underneath it.
Oh, way out deep!
This is Cleats and Cuffy.
Hit it! Oh, what a hit that was! Murray!
Everything ultimate, from the field to the border, with Jeff Snyder and Nick Dark.
Can I get up there?
Nicholas, we're back.
We're back.
It's been a while.
It has been... how long has it been? It's been quite a while.
It's been like 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Since we recorded our last one, which... very difficult to record this when the championship game and playoffs are going on. That is a lesson learned.
Yeah, the end of the season is almost a physical assault. It is a... Just, you feel like there's a... You've been surrounded... By an army that is now finally attacking you.
Yeah, I remember after the playoffs, we had a Monday morning meeting where we said we have 3 weeks until the championship game, and it's kind of silly because we work pretty much every day. Like everybody here is working pretty much every day at some point.
Yeah,
but we said we are going to work every single day, and we are going to do lots of work. And if we're if anything is left to be done, we're actually going to go out and just hit the street. So we're handing out postcards, doing all this stuff, right? And everybody was really, really, like, charged up, like, let's go do this. By the Friday or Thursday before, it looked like we were running, like, a rehabilitation clinic for crazy people. Like
the office was destroyed. People were sleeping on the floor. Yeah,
It was.
We're handing out soup. I don't know why.
Yeah, it got ruthless, but we did our thing, and we had one heck of a championship game, didn't we?
It was fun. But let's not forget, before we get into that, you also a new daughter during that time period, because we didn't have enough going on.
No, she came at the perfect time. So she was due July 19th.
Championship game.
Yeah, right. But I think we knew she was coming early. If I had to pick a day, selfishly, it would have been July 10th, which also... funny enough, is Lori's birthday is July 18th. And when I first met her, I would joke around that her birthday was July 10th. That I,
You didn't remember.
Yeah, that I didn't remember, but I remembered that it was July 10th.
So. Yeah, I like that you call that a joke on the podcast here. So she was, because she listens.
Well, she stopped. Nope, she didn't listen. So she was born July 10th. Everything, 10 fingers, 10 toes, came out happy. And has kind of been sleeping.
Yeah, I don't know how you got that. That's not a thing.
Yeah, so I
in
feel
my
like
memory.
Yeah, you haven't slept.
It sort of is still not a thing. I don't know.
Right. So I'm a happy guy. They were all at the championship game,
which was great. Yeah,
which was cool.
I got to meet her for the first time there, in the luxury box.
It's true. If anybody knows my wife, she's a nervous one. She likes planning, so she wanted to know everything about the boxes, how they were situated, how
far the bathroom was,
how far it was, how
you had to give her a number of steps.
Yep. Which I did, actually. I did take pictures of relative distance between club box and bathroom. But she came, which made me very happy. And my daughter danced with Dizzy.
That was great.
Because she's obsessed with it. My daughter is obsessed with him. It's not like... It's somewhat cute, unless this lasts for any longer.
Yeah, when she's like 30, and she's living in a small apartment with her cats and a bunch of pictures of Dizzy up on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something to get worried about. For now, it's fine.
We're on track for that.
Yeah, you're headed there, but, there's a lot of turnoffs to that road.
But she certainly loves him, and she got to be a little dance-off. And she also did the cutest thing in the world, Nicholas. So she was sitting at the sideline seats.
Yeah.
So if you weren't at the game... These sideline seats, and first of all, PPL Park is just
beautiful. It's beautiful. We're gonna dig into that.
Yeah, you got it. Go look online. You'll see what we're talking about. It was perfect. But the sideline seats were right behind the video boards. Is that what we call them, video boards?
Yeah, the LED boards.
LED boards, right?
Yep.
Where all the advertisements are and everything.
Yep.
And she's just sitting right behind there. And I remember when we did the trophy.
So
we did the whole pantry with the trophy. And I'm walking back, and she says, "Daddy." And I heard her. But it didn't. I'm like, is that my daughter? Like, because I didn't even know she was sitting there. And she said it again. I turned. I'm like, oh my God, it's my daughter. And she goes, "Daddy, I love you." And like everyone was like, "Dude, that was like the cutest thing
like,
in the world."
Aww.
I'm like, yeah, she knows. She wants an Oreo cookie. She knows what she's doing.
So, yeah, this is all manipulation.
So it was adorable though. She was adorable, and sat through the whole game, enjoyed herself. So I was proud of her.
She did. My children didn't make it out because my son turns into a werewolf at about 7:30.
Well, he would have just chased all of the Frisbees around, right? Your son would have just been following
the
Frisbee.
He can't stand to not be playing a game. So it's very hard to take him to any sporting event.
He reminds me of this other guy I know who really drives me insane. So I'll introduce you to him sometime.
Yeah, yeah, I'd like to meet him.
Yeah, but the wife came out.
The wife did come out, had a great time.
Good. That's good. Well, that's nice. Yeah,
no, it was a lot of fun.
That's really good.
All my family, my siblings surprised me, coming from upstate New York and from New York City.
That's right.
Had some nice surprises there. So it was a good time. People coming from everywhere.
I saw them at the Fun Zone, Fan Zone.
Fan Zone.
This is the same thing.
UNAANF.
Yep.
Like spelling.
No, you're doing.
Yep, finding it.
Let's walk them through the day. Right.
Yeah. So, championship game. Let's go through championship game.
The whole day.
We get there. What time do we get to the stadium?
We got to the office to load up at 10 or 11.
Yeah.
No, 9:30.
Yeah.
We didn't really. So this was a day. I need to knock on all of the wood. This was a day where really nothing went that wrong. There were things that we learned, right?
Well, we definitely learned some things.
In terms of disaster control, we have dealt with a billion times worse. Like, we've dealt with things where, like, this is, how are we going to do this? And it just ran. It really, everything came together. And I give a lot of credit to everybody for that. It was a part of it, but it was a lot of fun. So we showed up at 9:30.
Which, I'm going to say right now, was not early enough. Because by the time we got to the stadium, we were still behind somehow. And that's what is amazing about this, is each time you try to do more, and you keep having to tack hours on. In a couple of years, we're going to have people at the stadium 4 days ahead of time.
It didn't feel that far behind, though.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. But being there on the ground, like setting up the merchandise tents, setting up, you know, all the games and things we were doing, we definitely weren't ready an hour ahead of time, which would have felt nice.
Right. We were ready right when it started.
We were ready so right at the start. So it wasn't that we were late. It's just that we weren't early.
Yeah, we weren't early enough.
Yeah.
Because we were set up by the time people were getting there. But you're right. It's nice to be set up and then take a break.
And then sit down.
Right. Which we've learned a lot. So you're right. We could have done a bit earlier than that. But so what we do is we get to the office. Everybody meets up. We load up the van with everything we have to take. So really, actually two vans. Pretty much all the merchandise. And all the merchandise. I think that's really it. It was
mainly merchandise. Merchandise and sort of tailgating type games. We had sent someone for food and drink for the locker rooms for the players. So, you know, when we arrived there that day, the guys from ProServe were already there setting up the fan zone.
Yes, which was the coolest thing we've ever done. Like that was, there was a glass break, which we have video of that.
Oh, that's great. They basically a pane of glass out, 25 yards?
Yep.
30 yards, something like that, with a GoPro camera behind it. And we have people throwing discs to break that glass. It was
everybody loved that.
Very satisfying.
Then there was this blow up thing that looked like it was for golf, where you like chip it in, but they use it for frisbees. So it was perfect.
Through the little mini frisbees for the kids. Yeah.
They had the cutouts of
which
Art
awesome.
Sheridan and Art Scholl, Ben Sheridan and Brandon Malachek. People love that. And then they had qualifying. They had something else too. I forget.
They had the bowling for Allen wrenches. The IKEA bowling for Allen wrenches, which I don't know if you tried that. That was fun.
So I never even got
into
this thing.
And then the velocity test was a huge hit. Huge hit.
One of the guys from The Whistle showed up. Willis Wigan.
Yeah.
He should really be famous. Don't have a name Willis Wigan
very good
and
name.
Not be completely
it's a very good
famous.
Name.
Which, I mean, I guess he is. He's kind of the man. But so he shows up after I can't even get into it. But Willis, if you're listening, the text messages you gave me were so weird, man. So I'm glad you're okay. But he throws a frisbee like 62 miles an hour.
Seriously?
I was like, 62? You should be pitching for the Yankees. Like, if you could throw a frisbee 62 miles an hour, like that is way fast.
That is very fast. Yeah. That's like Ian was up in that 62, 63 range, Ian McClellan. I think I broke 50.
Throwing a frisbee 60 is really the equivalent of throwing a fastball in the 80s. Like, it is very, very fast.
It's very fast.
Just think about it. A baseball comes out. It's a circle coming out, cutting through the wind.
Yeah.
The frisbee, you know, it's not easy. It's got drag immediately unless you throw it perfectly. Perfectly.
Perfectly.
Like, whatever that word, like perfectly bladed, which is I don't even know if it's possible to do that while throwing your hardest. Like, it was very impressive.
Yeah, my arm was sore. I tried it. And my arm was sore the next day. I'm like, why am I in pain? I'm
Why would you do that?
I'm getting older.
You
I'm
know
used
you're not going to be up
to
in
being
velocity.
In pain.
What are you doing? You're not a velocity
you have
guy.
To try it. There was a radar gun. I can't not try something with a radar gun.
Yeah, I didn't try any of it, which I regret. But then there was also the qualification for the 10K shot,
which was really fun.
Hard.
I had a chance to sit there and watch that for a while. It was basically for those of you out there, disc golf. It was a disc golf basket. It was 50 yards away, and in order to qualify for the drawing to be one of the 10 people on the field throwing for $10,000, you had to land your disc within a 15-yard radius around that basket, or 15-foot radius around that basket.
15-foot.
Yeah, so it was a small circle around the basket. It was very tough. Fun part of that, though, was one of the qualifiers was my very young nephew who qualified
Evan?
In there. Evan, yeah.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, so... Oh man, that thing was a really good time. The $10,000 throw at halftime.
I was about to say, let's fast forward to halftime. Nick, myself, Tom's out there, Big Johnny Mac.
Yeah,
we're all out there. In
got
our suits.
Timbo on a camera. I don't know. There's somebody who's Levi. Levi had a camera out there to document
good.
It because that's an important part.
That's
of
good,
doing
right.
this thing.
We have to do that. So. The guys, in fact, Evan was first. We have 10 people. Each of them get one shot. Evan throws, he wasn't that close.
No, it wasn't a bad throw.
But
everybody
really wanted
him
to win.
Yeah.
I still feel like, for the crowd's sake, you'd put the kid last.
I think if he had gone fifth, but it was all draw order. Because whoever made it first won.
Right.
So if you throwing first is technically an advantage.
Right. So these guys, they're all throwing. A couple people are kind of close. Then this one guy gets up, and he has a disc golf basket tattoo on his calf. And you turn to me, you're like, uh-oh, I think this guy's really good.
He was sponsored.
Yeah.
Like, at first, the way I looked at him is he walks up holding the disc golf, and I'm like, man, this guy looks like a disc golfer. And then he walks past me, and I see the back of his shirt, and it's like some sponsored disc golf shirt.
Okay.
I'm like, oh. And then I look down at his calf, and there's a disc golf basket tattoo.
It said 50-yard trick shot.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're in big trouble.
So he throws that disc. And from the moment he let go, I'm like, that's in the basket.
Yeah.
And if you look at the replay, it misses. They have a replay actually on the camera.
Inches long.
By like a foot, which is inches. You know, it's just
so
like,
close.
Whoa. And he did the perfect throw. And then another guy comes up and he has like this like kung fu stance thing he was doing. He did a couple warm ups. You know, they were like, and he was all smooth. I'm like, ooh, look at that. He looks so confident. And he threw it and he was close too.
Very close.
And then the best part was that your other business post screen.
Yep.
Right? But you give the
yeah,
10 second. Give the 10 seconds of what post-screen is.
Super energy efficient, super technologically advanced houses.
Very cool houses.
For you.
No one ever sees them that doesn't think they're awesome.
Yeah.
So your partner in that.
Yeah, Chad Ludeman.
Chad Ludeman comes up, gets the crowd pumped up.
Yeah, he was the 10th guy,
he
last
was the last
guy.
Dude.
Which is weird. I knew two people who qualified for this thing and made it. That was pretty crazy. Out of the number of people who qualified and had their names drawn.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were cheating.
Yeah.
Gets the crowd pumped up and then proceeds to throw the disc nowhere close to the basket.
Not
just couldn't take his own pressure.
Remotely close.
So we're gonna. I'm glad I have that.
In the second half, I got a text from him that says, man, those new discs are really overstable. It's a very serious straight-faced text from him.
I also had Pat Desmarais. So I'm sitting up in the box at one point. Pat Desmarais,
who is Evan's father.
Evan's father.
Evan, who qualified.
Comes up and
his
goes,
father.
You know, I paid, like whatever he said, I paid 10 tickets to get in this and I didn't get in it. Who chose? Why? And my son gets in it? And it just made me laugh that he was upset.
He was so
and
angry.
I said, I just told him never to pick you. So
it took me all the way to Wildwood to talk him down. He was angry the whole time.
Okay, all right, let's go backwards now. So the fan zone's going on, fan zone, fun zone.
Sponsors.
Sponsors set up all over the place.
Yep.
So bravo to Colin's team for that. They were everywhere.
Yeah, we had Kind Bar out there. We had Monster Energy drinks. Were out
there
on the concourse.
With coconuts on top.
The coconut water thing. The
is that what that was?
Coconut yeah.
Water? State
yeah.
Farm.
State Farm was out there. Alex's Lemonade Stand.
Alex's Lemonade
which
Stand.
Which great having those guys there. If you don't know about that organization, check them out.
Definitely cool.
Oh man.
I'm not going to remember.
I shouldn't have listed all these because now...
Actually,
now
I think you got most of them.
That is most
of them. One there. Happy Valley Tickets.
Happy Valley Tickets was also out there, yeah.
They were out there as well. So that was cool. So it really was kind of jammed up. And then our merch tent, which was rocking, was out there.
Yeah. merch tent, a lot of fun. We basically set up the merchandise tent with all of the team's merchandise from around the league. So it's sort of the full MLU shop experience, and it's something that we'll talk about doing again when we go to Wildwood in our next segment here.
That was good, and we had our pricing out there, and I had priced pint glasses at $18, right?
So everyone is making fun of us. Everyone's like, we're blaming it on Jeff.
I'm like, if people are like, why are pint glasses so expensive? I'm like, do you know how much trouble we're going to get in if we sell pint glasses? So it needs to be a price where you would not be willing to throw it at somebody. Like, that was $18. I'm not throwing that. So, because also, fast forward, we did a really fun Bryn Mawr Veterinary Hospital sponsored us with a whole bunch of Frisbees. And we threw them into
the
crowd.
Little mini disc things, yeah.
And the crowd loved them. But there were those five people who were drunk and were like, I'm going to throw it right back. So so we need to make Frisbees again that can't be thrown back.
They thought we were having a catch.
They did. So that was, again, lesson learned. Don't throw it to the certain group.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny, too, walking up to the stadium. PPL is obviously very worried about projectiles, as soccer fans tend to be a little on the rowdy side.
No.
That's what I hear. And there's a list on the front of prohibited items, and one of the prohibited items on the list at the front gate of PPL Park is Frisbees.
Why would you not have a picture of that?
I do have a picture of it. I tweeted it.
Yeah. Well, why would you not? I want a picture.
You don't pay attention when I do things. Yeah.
Well, your phone beeps when I tweet something.
I know. I like to make sure you're not doing anything terrible.
True. Okay, so now we're getting close to game time. Teams have showed up. They're in the locker rooms. First of all, oh my God, locker rooms. Like, thank you for real locker rooms. Real locker rooms.
Real locker rooms. Real showers.
There were towels sitting out.
The shampoo.
The shampoo was beautiful. I don't have any hair.
But
I wanted the shampoo.
Yeah, wanted to own that shampoo.
I actually talked to a guy if I could steal the shampoo. He's like, you paid a lot of money to be here. You can take some shampoo.
Okay. Very nice.
Okay. And we decked them all out where there was food in there and all sorts of stuff. And then we had a locker room.
Yeah.
We had a locker room in between the team's locker rooms. Like, we were like the refs. We were like the,
Let's take a moment for that and talk about the... And by the way, there was also a refs locker room.
There was.
Which is down this fenced-in passageway and, like, guarded by four security guards.
With AK-47s.
Yeah, they're really taking care of them. But we were in between. And let's talk for a moment about the difference between these two teams and their sort of pregame approach. The Vancouver side, quiet, stoic almost.
Mm-hmm.
Very friendly, jovial men.
Nicest people
in the
world.
At this point, just really quiet. You didn't hear much out of that locker room. The DC locker room was like a pop music karaoke room in a sushi bar. It was insane what was going on in there.
I don't know.
They were just singing at the top of their lungs.
Did you get that off the top of your head?
I just rolled that right out. But that's exactly what it was like.
They were singing the worst songs in the world.
The worst songs
as loud as they could.
So loud.
And I looked down and my feet were moving. So I was into it. My brain wasn't into it, but my feet were into it.
I enjoyed it. They're a fun team. They're an interesting group of gentlemen.
They knew how to stay loose. I give them to that. It was fun to watch all of them warming up. We had the clinic going on with kids.
We had a nice little piece done by one of the local sports radio stations where they came out and did a video piece where one of the radio DJs played with the
Pat versus Philly
spinners. Pat versus Philly, it's called. You can look that up.
I like at the end, he's like, I'm spent. I'm like, yeah. This is you just played way too many points. Like,
yeah.
That was a lot. But so I get a call. So everything in sports, right? You have a script. So people out there know you script the whole thing, right? Except for the game, unless you're boxing.
you threw boxing in there? You could have done, the wrestling. I mean, boxing is kind of famous for it, but
fine. I'll say wrestling is that's official, but boxing, we all know why that's gone down. But so in our script, the trophy, it starts off at 6:30. The whole event kicks off, and David Kuchelapati, the GM of the Boston Whitecaps, as the incumbent, the last year's champion, walks out the trophy, and behind him was going to be a drum line.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call an hour beforehand that said, they're not coming. I said, okay. Which, again, this was the worst thing that happened.
This is not the better thing.
So we decided, we sat there, we talked with Jay Sek, who was the event coordinator for the day. We talked about it. First of all, I love Jay.
Fantastic job.
I could just package him up and keep him in my house because he's worth it. Right? I'm sure like just a guy put a collar on him.
Just manage your life. He's got a walkie-talkie.
Yep.
He's talking to everybody in your family.
Yeah.
And anyone associated with you. Just making sure everybody's doing their job.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. And just make sure he doesn't leave. is that creepy how I said that?
Yeah, that actually got a little... The collar thing particularly made it a little creepy.
He would look great with a collar on.
Yeah, we're not... We should move on.
So we talked about it. We said, you know, we'll walk out. You and I will flank David and we'll play the Last of the Mohicans song.
Yeah, we did that.
Which I was like, all right, that won't be so bad. So... We're lined up and we're waiting, and that trophy weighs about 376 pounds, give or take about it.
Yeah, it was probably in the design process working on this trophy last year. The one thing I really underestimated was
it was so heavy.
Was how heavy it should be.
But not too heavy.
It's
a trophy. It's a real trophy.
It's a trophy.
Like to lift this thing above your head, you know,
you need to be an athlete,
right? Yeah. So, you know, David's walking it in, and we said we had to walk to the 50-yard line. And then he hits that and he pivots and walks over to a table, which was in front of the fans, and places the trophy down. So the music starts and we're walking out. You and I are flanking him and we're looking good, I think. I feel like we're looking good, but I have a moment.
We're dressed.
We were looking good.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking sharp.
Yeah.
David's looking good. He's holding the trophy perfectly. Yeah. Everything's perfect. And it had a moment of like, man, when we hit this 50-yard line, are these fans going to care? What are they going to say? Is this going to be a thing at all?
It's the classic, do we look ridiculous right now moment?
Is this
sports is pageantry, right?
Right.
It's a show, but occasionally in the middle of a show, every performer has that moment.
I really did. I said, we're going to hit, and we're going to turn, and I'm going to look at this crowd, and they're going to be like, what are you doing? Just get on with the game, right? And I really had a moment of like, oh, crap. And I said, well, you know, as we do, you put on your face and go through. Yeah. So David hits that line and turns, and we all turn. And the crowd starts to go insane.
Yeah, and it was huge like, cheer.
Huge cheer. And for the whole, and it gets louder and louder, you know, and we're getting closer, but they're into it. And David puts down the trophy and they went insane. He set it down on the table and they went insane. Because this was a big deal. And we had, you know, we've watched our crowd grow and change throughout the time, but this was not like attendees. This was mostly rabid huge fans of what was going on. Like they were
mostly rabid huge fans of DC.
DC, yes.
Really, Vancouver was playing an away game. There's pretty much no question about that.
They were playing an away game because, you know, they did the introductions. So Vancouver was technically the away team because of their records.
Records.
So
yep.
DC was the home team. So they announced the both teams. Jay did a nice job. They came in. They looked sharp. They looked clean. They announced the Vancouver team. Not much cheering. So I'm like, okay. They announced the DC team, and it sounded like the whole stadium was on fire. Like, I was like, okay, wow, that is something.
Yeah, cowbells ringing.
They announced the Vancouver starting seven, and it was like Morgan Hibbert, and you heard, yay!
Yeah. I know that guy.
Person.
I saw him.
Yay!
He had a Canadian accent. It was weird.
And then DC, you couldn't hear anything.
It was rough. And I was like, well, maybe they, again, you have that feeling like they're announcing Vancouver, and you're like, okay, they're going to just get through the starting seven thing, and it's not going to be that big a deal. And then they announced Del Rico for DC, and the crowd goes insane. I was like, oof, Vancouver has a hurdle to overcome here.
It did. You know, they traveled from far away.
Yep.
They have all that stuff. They had a whole bunch of stuff against them. We were in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So when Alex Witchin, who my father actually, I saw him this weekend, wanted to know who she was. Wanted to know how to spell her name so he could look her up and see more of her videos.
She can sing.
She can. What would Antoine say? She can sing.
She can sing.
She's unbelievable.
Pipes. Yeah.
While she started the Canadian national anthem, our Philadelphians booed and chanted USA, but there was someone in there. I could hear her voice. Because, you know, you hear it going on, you're like, I just got to stand here and take it. Some mom, it sounded like a mom, it was a mom's voice, told them to zip it. And they shut up. And I was so proud. I wanted to meet her. Because somebody was like, stop it. Stop it. And they stopped. Because they were trying to chant USA. So they shut up. And she sang the Canadian national anthem beautifully.
Beautifully.
Then, and I don't know what happened, so you have to tell me if you know what happened. Alex starts the U.S. national anthem, USA, and this crowd starts singing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is the crowd singing it? What happened? And they start singing it loud. And then when she said, you know, oh, say, can you say, they yell, oh.
Yeah.
As loud as they can.
Oh, say does that Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, say does that
Star
Spangled
Banner. Everyone goes, oh!
They shouted it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sitting there, like, I was in awe. I haven't, do you know what happened? What happened?
It's a thing somewhere, I think. And perhaps one of our listeners can can tell us where that
I don't
originated.
Know how it was a moment fantastic. Because yeah. the whole crowd, and it was loud, was singing the national anthem. And then when she hits her final note like she does, they went insane.
Wow.
And I was I'm like, well, let's do this. This is
that final note she hits gives me chills.
This is yeah. This is going to be a game. So go ahead.
I want to talk about one thing that underlies all of this, which is the field. At this point, probably my favorite part of the whole thing was walking in and seeing the field painted. And it's a simple field. It's a clean field. But the context that it gives the game with the LED boards around it, the field all laid down. And my favorite part, completely unexpected, PPL Park lies in the flight path of a lot of the planes that come and land at Philadelphia Airport. They pass over the whole time. So, A, you're getting flyovers like every 5 minutes, which is great unless you're trying to record some audio down there, which you found out.
Mm-hmm.
But B, David Cucciolapati, our GM for Boston, is flying in for the game. And he said he was sitting on the right side of the plane. He looked out the window and he saw the MLU logo painted on the field below him.
Yeah, there's a picture of it on Twitter.
And that's amazing.
The Vancouver, yeah, you're right. That's something I'll never forget. I'm glad you brought that up. The Vancouver guys, the guy said that they were all sleeping, except one guy, Bobo Eric, I don't know how you pronounce it exactly, said he looked down and was like, whoa, that's the logo. I see it. And it's like, that is, I would have lost my mind. They would have arrested me right there. They'd be like, this man lost it, because I would have lost my mind. I would have been so excited. That was really, really cool. I mean, the field looks so good.
It looked great.
You saw the future.
And I watched the game on Comcast because they replayed it Monday night. And it's sports.
Good. Yeah, it was sports.
It was its own sport.
It was
living in this really cool stadium. Morgan Hibbard's throwing a disc and the Nighthawks logo is appearing on the LED board behind him.
Yep.
And there's a crowd and it's sports.
Somebody, Mike Gentile, actually came up to me and said, if there were 20,000 people there, it wouldn't have been any different. And I knew exactly what he meant. He just said, you put on the show that deserves a packed stadium. It was all that it needed to be. You don't need to do anything else. And he was right. We did everything we needed to do. Right? It was all there.
And yet we have so much we can improve.
No, there is. There's always things.
There's always what I have to say.
No, there's always things you can do better.
Yeah, I know,
but
I know.
The point is,
no,
nobody
right.
came there and said anything other than that was awesome.
Yeah.
Some people didn't like one part. Some people don't like another part. But as a whole,
yeah, no,
the experience was phenomenal.
It was a real show. It was a real event. And, you know, I wanted to bring up the field there because I feel like it played such a role in contextualizing the game, the fact that we could do that. And we know for a fact that most of the games we play next year are going to be on football fields,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to still deal with that sort of branding issue and problems. But we have this now, this look and feel that we can apply whenever we get the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I know you did had a lot to do with that field. Now, did I formally congratulate you on what a nice job you did?
No, I don't think you should either.
You're smart.
That goes to my head.
You're veteran
you don't allow
enough
that.
To know that I would never do that. You can just give me credit for the field out there, listeners. That was all my idea.
Yeah, no, I worked hard with Matt Sewell to come up with that field originally, and we came up with an idea that we liked, pared it down, and kind of adjusted it to what the grounds crew thought would work best. And you know, and then they went the extra mile, really, too, which you'll notice if you watch the video, that they mowed the 10-yard strips just into the field area. When you see
you
from above,
that.
You see this. And that was all the ground crew at the stadium.
They were awesome.
And they mowed the sort of vertical strips on the outside, so it designated the difference in the field areas in the grass.
Brilliant.
Really well done.
Brilliant. Very well done. Yeah, it was awesome. And I just can't wait. So if you want to know if it's going to be there again next year, I don't know yet because we still have planning to do, but it's very likely it will be there. Again, next year we want to put on this really go another level with the show. So the 10K throw, maybe it's the 20K throw, maybe it's 100K throw. Who knows what it is next year? But let's just keep upping the ante.
Yeah, I love the idea. I mean, we know we have a ways to go, as we said. Like we're still working, we're still building, but there is a great potential partnership with stadiums like PPL.
Oh yeah,
because they pay it back the other way. They did a lot of work for us on the ground. Introduced us to a lot of ways we could get promotion out there, and you know, have credit for a good number of tickets that they brought in themselves through their sales team.
Yeah, I mean, we have only a few minutes really left to talk about this, but let's go over some highlights. Number one.
Yeah, give me your top five things from the game, briefly, that you like. That's what I want to hear.
Top five things. Again, it's in Philadelphia without a Philadelphia team playing, and all said and done, we're at the 2,500 number, which makes me really happy. Even though I want to fill it one day. But just to know that we had that engaged of a crowd made me very happy. Sitting up in the club box, in a real club box with the mayor and a bunch of people and
mayor
sponsors.
Chester, love him.
The guy from Coliseum Construction who only got to meet really quick, and all our boys and all of our girls, you know, our little interns and people we take care of, you know, sitting there looking good, enjoying the game. That was great, but my favorite was watching the game and seeing a layout and then turning to my right to look at the TV to watch the replay. It was like, this is real. I'm in a club box where the real thing is happening. It's all real. So I'd say that's number two. Number three is that roar that the crowd gave when we brought in the trophy, because that was awesome. Number four was a weird moment. At halftime, we had to give all the awards, right? And Morgan Hibbert, first of all, doesn't want to be there. He's once trying to go into the locker room because, you know, Vancouver wasn't playing well, and they were really getting beat up. I think 13-4 or 14-3. It was bad.
First half was rough.
And he is pissed off, and it's time for me to give him his award. So I hand him his award, and, like, he changes, smiles, takes a picture, and there's a picture of it, me and him.
Yeah.
And he's smiling. I'm not smiling because I'm still, like, thinking he's not going to smile. And he's smiling, and he does his whole thing because he's a pro. He's, you know, the consummate pro. And takes his award. He's thankful, and then he goes off, you know, because it's time to go win. And they made quite a push. So that was number four, and number five was the after party. Because it was the greatest after party of anything I've ever been to, ever.
VIP room at one of the weirdest places in the world. That's also awesome.
I want to tell this quick story, and then I want to hear your top five. So we walk into the Xfinity Live, which is an enormous bar. An enormous bar with a mechanical bull.
There's different rooms. You walk into one room, yeah, there's one people riding a mechanical bull. Another one, there's like a guy in lederhosen, like, dancing around with an accordion.
Yeah,
gin blossoms are playing outside.
Yeah.
Which is literally true.
That actually is true. So it just was like, it was a thing. So we walk in and it's packed, and I'm like, oh man. And I can't find anybody. Colin, I think, texted me and said, where are you? I walk in, I don't see anybody.
You walked in with me and I lost you within 10 seconds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we walked in. Yeah, so yeah. You're gone. I don't know where I am. Now I'm next to some DC Current fans. And we're talking, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is the worst. Not that I'm with I love being with the fans. Like, I don't know where anybody is. It's so loud. And there's a fog machine going. So I'm like, come on. Like, this is just not
even
the worst.
Even if you knew where someone was, you could lose them in the mists.
Yep, yeah, it just... Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, I think I'm just going to ride the bull and get this over with. So, and then all of a sudden, you hear over the loudspeaker, attention. We'd like to welcome Major League Ultimate and all the fans and players. Would you please go upstairs now? Your VIP room is now ready, is what it said. And I was like, VIP. And as it proceeded the stairs, and I was right next to the stairs. So I walk upstairs, and it was like, oh, yeah, okay. We're on the balcony over top this whole thing, and we packed it up. And it was, again, you had to be there. But there isn't a person who was in that thing who wasn't like, this is the way to live. This is the way to have a day. So it was awesome. All right, now you, top five.
Now me, top five. Number one, we've talked about it enough. I'm just going to say it one more time. It's the field. Having, I think, our brand as well represented as it was on that field with those sideboards and all the things that came into place there. The scoreboard. He did the digital scoreboard with the team logos on it. And it didn't say home and away, or worse, like Eagles and away. Like, we get it. Yeah. A lot of the stadiums, it was literally our branding up there. That was amazing. Loved that. Two, I got interviewed at the end of the game. What was the kid's name?
Amiri. Amiri Tulloch or something.
Amiri like Tulloch. Do you remember the name of his blog? Yeah. I'm going to tweet it out because you need to go check it out. This kid is
14
years old. He sent in an application for a press pass with an additional pass for his dad so that he could come to the game. And he came in and he sat up in the press box. You know, I know that Brian Flaherty was helping him out, gave him all the media information. We had a very nice press area.
Awesome.
And then at the end of the game, he pulled me aside and we did a little interview. And I was so impressed by him and impressed by what he wrote afterward. And I love that these kids are coming up, like, looking at this as a real sport and looking at it as an opportunity to write.
He was a cool kid. A quick little side story on that. I was at the media gate when he showed up. And the woman's like, I'm sorry, that your tickets are on the other side. He goes, no, I'm press. She goes, how old are you? He said, I'm 14. She said, you're 14. He goes, I'm 14 and I'm press. And he said it so confidently. That kid's going somewhere.
That kid is definitely going somewhere. So I loved that.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Three, the parking lot before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. I mean, it was just, I get a chill talking about it now. Walking around a parking lot outside an ultimate game and seeing massive tailgating going on. The DC one had like 4 tents and 3 grills and just people everywhere playing games, I mean, we know how much Frisbee people love games anyway. All the different Frisbee games out there going on in the parking lot. And that was amazing. So I got to walk around and do that. What was that? That was three?
That was three.
That was three. Four was we were sitting in the club box. And a couple of guys that the stadium had invited from a local charity walked in. And they're like, oh, we were supposed to go to a box up here somewhere. And they didn't, like, there wasn't...
No, the church. You're talking about the church guys.
Yeah, they do like a food kitchen type thing where they feed people who don't have enough food. And so they came in and we just invited them in. And they ended up coming in and sitting with us and seeing the first Frisbee they'd ever seen. And by the end, we're just very excited. Like, are you guys going to be back here? Can we bring more people out? Like, we'd love to have you back in Chester. And it was nice, both them and, of course, the mayor, to see that embracing from the community around us. And there were a bunch of people from the community in the stands, which I thought was great. And then, yeah, last of all, hanging out with the Vancouver guys a little bit at the after party was a lot of fun. Like these are guys that know how to compete, but also know how to have a good time.
They do,
and though they apologize a little more often than I'm accustomed to, being an American, I remember I walked up to one group of them. This is my last bit of story. I walked up to one group, and the three of them are talking. They're like, "Oh man, that was a pretty good game, eh? Yeah, that was something, eh?" And they just like all three of them said, "Eh." I'm like, "You guys all really say that?" They're like,
they do.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Yeah, they all apologize for losing the game.
Yeah,
everyone talks to us. They don't have to apologize. So you strange. Know my rule about apologies, right? And they're like, "Oh, sorry."
If they could have put that, I mean, going to the game, that third quarter, they won 9-3, right? It was really they just got so far behind in the first half that they just couldn't make it all the way back, even though you bet me that they would.
I did. I had a good bet with you because I felt like I had this feeling they were going to come back, and they were marching towards it. I didn't say win. I just said come back and tie it.
Yeah.
The problem is, and Dusty wrote a nice article about it, DC's just too good. They're so good. And the crowd behind them, there's too many things were in their favor.
That was them without Alan Kolick. Like, I mean, that team is both good. They're deep.
And Peter Pryor got hurt.
Peter Pryor got hurt early on, yeah.
Well, not early, but...
Early in the third, right?
Yep. Now, Morgan Hibbert... did not get enough D's in that game like we're accustomed to, but he did get the greatest D ever.
I don't even know what to say about that D.
That D, the crowd was in shock.
My brother Austin said it well. He had the Michael Jordan kick where he jumps, and then he jumps again while he's in the air.
He jumped again while he's in the air.
Was that Super Mario 3 where you could do that? Remember that game, the old arcade game? Could you double jump in all of it?
Yeah, you can, right? I don't know.
Man, I don't know.
I was a Sega guy. yeah, it was an incredible D. So, all right, so we got to move on that. One other thing, actually, though. The president of the World Flying Disc Federation was there. So
that's right.
Say a thank you to him. Rob came by.
Yep, it was nice. It was really good to meet him. Him and his wife came out and... Yeah, they hung up in the box with us. He did the disc flip with the mayor of Chester.
He said to me there, without any equivocation, that he was all for refs now.
Yeah, so, yeah. He was like, well, we should all have refs.
We should refs. He said, this is the way it should be.
He did not say that.
He said, you convinced me. Refs are the right way. So I appreciated him saying that.
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that did not happen. But he did, I think, have a very good time at the
game. He came to the after party, too.
And he came to the after party.
Actually, we don't know if he's alive. We don't know who's alive from that after party.
No, we don't. That was mayhem.
Things were just going crazy. There was a professional football player. Did you hear about that?
No. Somebody wandered up.
Somebody from the D.C. football team, right? Backup fullback. Or the fullback. I can't remember. One of them was there and came up to the VIP room because he's there, because he doesn't want to be down, and starts talking to Tom. And he's like, what is going on here? And Tom told him, and he was like, this is insane. And he was watching the game on the TV thinking how awesome this was. So it's kind of
That's
fun.
That's fantastic.
You're not that far away, right?
We're getting close.
Okay. So let's rewind. We rewound back to the 19th. Now we're going to rewind back to just this past weekend. What is today? Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
Where are we?
Tell you what, this is
yeah. So we went to the Wildwood Beach tournament.
We did,
with pretty much the whole office.
Took the crew,
packed up a van with all of our merch, or a whole bunch of merch, because we sponsored that tournament.
Yep.
Which shout out to Len Daggett and Mike Adlis. They throw quite a thing. There were 10,000 people there. Whatever it is, it's the largest ultimate frisbee tournament in the world, and it's actually too big.
It's large to the point of inconvenience.
Yeah, like I'm like, this is too. Both of us did this. I think you only did a couple points.
Tournament Central is like right in the middle of the beach, the strip of beach this is on. That strip of beach, however, is like 2 miles.
Yeah, it's and you know how hard it is to walk a mile in sand is like it's way more than a mile on grass, or whatever, right?
So, definitely.
So we were playing cameo points. I don't think you only played a couple. I played a few teams. I hung out with the St. Joe's kids. That was fun. I went and played with Greg's team. And then, who was it? Patricia from the Fly Girls said, will you come play? We're on field 150. I was like, okay. And I started walking, and I got to 80. I'm tired, and I get to 80. I'm like, okay. And then the next section, I realized, was a whole section away from them. And I just turned around. You've never seen more frisbee fields. It's unbelievable.
It's a massive, massive tournament. And it's, you know, it's packed in pretty tight, too. It's not like it's frisbee fields spread out all over.
No,
this
they
is
are
a dense
packed in.
Collection of fields.
It's just you have 100 and, I don't know what they had, 160 fields, 170 fields, whatever it was.
Something
500,
like
600 teams. It's a spectacle. It's like, wow, this is.
If you haven't gone to that tournament, go to that tournament next year.
Yeah, if you haven't gone to Wildwood, and if you're a frisbee player, and you haven't gone to Wildwood, you are literally missing the biggest tournament in the world. Like, and it's right here in beautiful Jersey.
Beautiful Jersey.
First of all, second of all, the tournament's awesome. The after party there, it's 10,000 frisbee people hanging out.
It is fun. It's mayhem.
You want to do it.
It's mayhem. So we pack up the van. We take everybody down there. We set up our merchandise tent. And again, we did the same thing we did the championship game. Put out everybody's merch. And it was a lot of fun to see both the way different items sold, like how people went, you know, associated with teams over distance. Like people on the East Coast, because those teams don't play each other, don't feel any qualms about sort of picking a West Coast team that they like. So you would have people who would had a couple of people buy DC gear and then buy Portland gear because they just like Portland. And so it was fun having all the stuff out there on the beach and having everybody getting to talk to a ton of people. We set up the cutouts. We let people throw discs through the cutouts for discounts and prizes. You made bets with people.
Oh, I made bets with people. First of all, the I Love Nick Darling shirt didn't sell.
No, shockingly no.
But the Snader hater?
Snader hater flies off the shelf. It's a kind of a hat.
Yes.
Where it holds, it's like one of those beer hats,
right?
But it holds like warm flat beer only for some reason. It's called the Snader hater. It's awful.
I love gambling with people, placing bets. So what I'll do is they come up to the cutouts, and we did this last year, and Anthony McLean of George Mason is the one. Remember, he threw that push pass that didn't it perfectly fell into the thing.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, last year. So this year I'm like, let me make some bets with some people. So The amount of times people won when I bet them was out of control. This is like, if these were 1 out of 20 shots and I think I was 3 for 4.
You
like
bought,
losing,
you bought a lot of gear and it's a really, really hard shot.
Yeah. And I said, if you make it through for an example, I'll say if you make it through the Art Shawl cutout, which was the farthest one away and it was a tough shot. If you make it through, I'll buy you anything from the shop you want. But if you don't, you have to, you know, hold me, you know, like the bridesmaid carry. You have to hold me in bridesmaid while they take a picture. Or you have to do a wheelbarrow down the beach.
Didn't you do
beach.
A face-down snow angel?
Face-down snow angel?
Sand angel.
Sand angel, yeah. Yep. Face-down snow angel. You know, I did win some. But this this one kid, was it Ryan? Good-looking kid from central Pennsylvania. Says he listens to this show, so.
Well, hello, Ryan.
I think I'm pretty sure that was his name.
He's going to be really upset if it wasn't.
I'm 9,800% sure.
9,800%.
So he comes up, and I make this bet with him, and he throws the worst first throw possible. And then he proceeds it with a bad second throw. But his third throw, and I gave him a little shoulder rub. I put a little confidence in
him. Give him a little,
brain.
Like, yeah. You
he
can
threw
do it
right through. So I'm never doing that again. But no, he was a good kid. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see him win. And then another kid, Christian. He threw it on the first row, just like, all right, and then he took a jersey. Hey, come on,
you know. I wanted to buy him
whatever. And then somebody else threw something too. We had some fun.
It was a good time, and a lot of good little lessons and stuff out of it. I was surprised in a way, but our top selling item is our reversibles. Right now,
you expected that.
Kind of. I don't know. I don't get it. The whole tank top thing,
it's
showing off your arms.
One.
I'm too white, too pale. I cover up all the time.
That's because you.
Yeah, no.
Nothing is right about the way you think about this world.
But yeah, the reversible sold really well, and you know, we have a lot more of them. I think we're gonna do a big online sale probably in a week or so.
And funny, we still had the thing. Colin O'Brien came up and he goes, why are people so hung up about Innova versus Discraft? And I'm like, you know, sometimes things are just there because they're there.
Yeah.
But you're just there. Like, I can't think of an example right now, but you're just like, I don't like that. And you're like, why? Like, I don't know, because I don't like that. You know? But actually reminds me of this this story this guy used to tell. Good guy, his name's Fran McBurney. He does some of our printing for us.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the mother took the ham and cuts it in half and throws half out and makes this ham dinner, right? And so the kid cuts the ham in half and throws half of the ham out and puts it in the pan and makes dinner. And the grandkid does the same thing. And finally someone comes to the grandkid and says, why are you cutting the ham in half and throwing half of it out and, you know, cooking half? And he goes, I don't know. It's just the way we've always done it. So then, you know, the grandkid goes and asks the grandmother, like, why did you do that? She's like, well, we only had a pan big enough for half. Right, so it's like, you know, it's a silly story, but the point is she did it for a reason, but you don't have a reason, you're just doing it because that's the way it's done, right?
I don't like this story. It's a terrible waste of ham.
I don't know why. First of all, why is she just freeze
just save
the ham,
it. Like,
just
wrap
freeze
up the other half.
Yeah, I mean, I know how you feel about ham, so I don't want that to. But this kind of thing, it's like, you throw the Innova, you'll love it.
It was actually fun because we're on the beach and we have, you know, a ton of staff there. We were able to step aside and, like, I played some catch with a few people, just toss the disc around so they can get a feel for it. Because, you know, a lot of it is that people haven't thrown it yet.
Right.
You know, you throw what you're used to. And they're like, oh, this feels kind of weird, feels kind of different. Like, of course it does. Because for me, now, when I throw a discraft, it feels kind of weird and kind of different. And it's just what it is, you know. And I would be shocked if another decent disc didn't come along. It's just the way life goes. I mean, Ultimate's gaining popularity, gaining momentum. We're going to see variations in discs. We may see variations in the Innovatus that we use over time.
There is, it's funny though, in beach, with that wind there isn't a question to me which disc I'd rather throw. The Innova flies better. It just flies better in that condition. Like, to me, that's the disc I would want to throw. In fact, I went to, and nothing against Discraft, it's a good disc.
You're also biased.
I am biased, but I can't throw the Discraft in wind the way I can throw an Innova. It's just easier to throw. So
I can't throw anything in wind, so it didn't really affect me one way or another.
No, I guess that's the truth.
I did jack my – I played 2 points, and I threw – the very first throw I threw way out the back of the end zone. Like, this field is not 120 yards long.
Yeah, what's happening? I had some good points, Nicholas. My first point got a D and threw a score. I should have stopped right there.
Yeah, and you leave. That's what I did. I had a layout D for a layout D, and then I threw a goal, and I walked off, and I never played again in the rest of the weekend.
That was smart.
It also, the layout D hurt a lot.
I bet. I also threw a left-handed goal, a little nifty lefty goal.
Look at you.
Yeah, you would have been. You would have liked what I was doing.
Yeah, probably
not. Then I went and played for Greg's team, and my body passed out. Things I just started leaving parts behind. So it was bad.
Yeah, you've been limping for a few days since
then. Oh, man. It's not just that, either. It's not the I would be limping right now if I didn't play a point. Walking on sand for 2 days, standing up, it is with the sun beating down. You're exhausted.
You really have to. And if you do come to that tournament, you have to plan for it. Apply your sunscreen every 2 hours. Put on some sneakers.
You do.
In between games or even during games. Like, protect your feet.
It's a brutal tournament.
It's brutal and really fun. And the combination, the fun drives you on past the point of rational decision making.
I mean, we went to the Bolero afterwards. What a fun time. Everyone's there. I mean, it's literally everyone's there. You're just chilling and talking with people. And I love it because I got to buy some drinks, people I recognized and fans and players. Just a great time.
Great time. And we'll be there again.
Oh, we'll
it's
definitely
too much
be
fun.
Well, you know, little cat out of the bag, we've been discussing hosting the championship game in August now, moving the season back a little bit.
Yeah, so there's a possibility there.
Possibility there because it's so cold when we're starting.
April's tough up in Boston. April's no question about it.
Tough in Boston, tough in New York, tough in Seattle, tough in Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's really tough for all of them. They're cold. So we've been talking about, you know, changing a little bit. So next year, Wildwood could potentially be in the middle of our season, which would be really fun to promo that whole thing together. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I think that Wildwood signifies something that we want to do a whole lot more of. We want to provide support in promotion, financially, all sorts of ways for tournaments. Because, again, it's all about growing the sport. It's all about being involved in Ultimate. And wherever we can plug ourselves into that, I think is something that we want to do in the long run. And Wildwood's just sort of the start of it because we're here. It's right there, and it's ginormous.
It is ginormous. So, to Wildwood, good times. I don't think I have anything else to say about it, except I really had fun, and you should go if you didn't go.
Yeah, great times.
And I would actually love to tweet at us, at Cleats Cufflinks, or at Jeff Snader, at Nick Darling. Tell us what your favorite part of Wildwood was, or your favorite part of the championship weekend, or both. Love to hear all about it. Love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. So we're getting a little low on time. We're just about run out here. We've talked a lot. We've got about 10 minutes left. And I think the question that comes up most often at this point in the year is people like, hey, you just had your championship game. Season's over.
Will you exist?
Like, what are you doing now? And you know, I tell people, because my family especially asks this, like, do you take a little bit of a break? Are you slowing things down? And really, it's the off season in many ways is more challenging and more work than during the season. The season has a sort of regimented feel.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's got a routine.
You know what you have to do each week. Each week is execution, repetition, you know, especially for things like content, video content, you know, social media, all that stuff. On my side of things, is like, you know, it's all a pattern. And when you get into the off season, the creative work steps up, and not only in keeping that stuff running, but also in figuring out what are we going to do next year, what are we going to build into next year, and, you know, how are we going to grow and adapt as a league to what we've done already. It's a ton of work.
Yeah, I am actually going around and meeting with all the teams. We're scheduling that now, so now through October-ish, to meet with teams so we can, you know, it's fun to show as many people around the vision of what we're doing and our plans and everything. We learned a lot about scheduling and stadiums,
yeah.
So we kind of learned better ways to do that, so we're enacting them now and really booking all that stuff now. We have to put the schedule out, which we talked about going to 12 games with no cross-travel at the moment, though we're because it's very expensive, but we're going to see if we can't sneak something in. But I wouldn't bet on that. We're talking about really our procedures, because we're a small company. People, you know, always remember that. We are a small company run on a small budget in comparison.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
And you know, we're certainly doing a lot of work to find new partnerships, right? That's what we do. and new things to raise what we can do yet another level. But like, you know, we're putting all the pieces together. So what we want to do, I think where we would say we failed, or I hate to use the word fail because all the things we've done have been so good.
You know how much I love the word fail.
In comparison. I know. All the things we've done in comparison have been so good. And we know that. You know, if we step outside and look, we know that what we're doing is extremely good. Have we screwed up? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But things we want to improve are just really our understanding of ticket pricing and how we're pulling in revenue during games. Because the fans are having a great time and they want to support us. So we want to make sure that we give them the opportunity to support us as yes. much as possible, yeah. right? You know, there's nothing worse than that fan saying, I would have spent more money with you had you given me the opportunity, because they want to. You know, look at what fans spend at professional football and professional basketball and professional baseball games. Like, you come with $120 in your pocket, you know, to spend with that stuff, because that's what you do.
Right. right?
So anyway, and we want to increase that engagement. We just really want to, I think, up the level of everything we've done in consistency. It's always about that, right? Consistency around the through the league in for the things that work right. One of them definitely advertising, right? We want to really improve that so that we are reaching everyone we need to reach. So, as a quick example, we went to Wildwood. And people come up and they are like, people will say, I am such a huge fan of you guys. Major League Ultimate's awesome. And we say, thank you.
Yeah.
This is so cool. Where do you play? I play in Virginia. You know, do you play club? They'll tell you their whole story. Next person walks up. Who are you guys? Right?
Yep.
And you're like, and then you say, we're Major League Ultimate. Like, okay, what is this? This is like a pro thing? So we go through that. Where do you play? I play in Virginia. Do you play club? Yep. I play college. And it blows your mind.
Yeah.
Because they have no clue. There's a kid who plays college, not seriously. Now, you know, they're just
yeah, yeah.
playing in college, but they don't have a clue. Would they come to a game? Of course.
Yeah.
They say it. Oh, I would come to. Yeah, that's awesome. I just didn't know you guys existed. And we've been around for 3 years, right? It's our second season. We've been around for 3 years.
Close to 3 years.
Good
now,
Lord. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how hard it is.
Yeah. And, you know, to that end, having some great conversations right now with agencies who do this type of work. And it's been very entertaining. The couple that I've talked to so far are so excited about the opportunity to represent a product like this, because it's just, there's such a broad audience that is completely untapped. They're like,
this would be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And I'm not, you know, we say fail, right? We don't do that well at advertising, but we also haven't put much into that box, because what we really focused on was creating a product that justified an ad spend.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now we have a product. We saw at the championship, we have a product that justifies getting people to those yeah. games, because like we were saying, this game would be good enough for a 20,000 person audience.
We suck at advertising for two reasons. One is not an expertise anybody here has, and two, you need to pay for it, and we don't have the budget to put in real advertising. And real advertising budgets they're not even that big, but when you multiply it, like, let's just say an advertising budget's $250,000. That's not what you get to spend. You need to spend that times really nine,
right.
or even more, because you need to do it for each team and you need to do it for the league,
right?
And that is not that much money, right?
In sports concept, it's not
it's
that
not
much money.
It's not even close to
that
much money.
That is a ton of money in the
our budget.
In our budget.
But in the sports world,
yeah.
I mean, look at what... I think people forget this. And Philadelphia, an enormous sports town. We've been to, you know, I was recently in Seattle. Enormous sports town.
Yep.
And yet there are Mariners, billboards, flyers, subway ads everywhere. Right. In here in Philly, we see Eagles advertisements all over the place.
Yeah.
Because that's how much effort, and you have to do that for people who, a stadium that's sold out right now.
People who already know you need to be reminded.
And
constantly.
Have bought your ticket. Remember that. They bought the ticket. They're already there. And they're going to watch on TV, but you can't afford at any moment to not engage them in every way possible. That's how hard it is. So that's the next level we want to get to. Can we start to build real advertising campaigns around a product that I think we're really happy with right now? Can it be improved? Oh, yeah, of course.
Everything has room for improvement.
I can't wait till people see what we do next year. We have so many cool things coming down the road. So it's going to be better.
I'm very excited. Way. Off-season is such an exciting time.
Except that it's horrible.
Except that it's also horrible.
But other than that, it's really exciting.
But it's great.
It's like exciting horrible.
It's great terrible.
And do I have to work with you just as much as I have to this season?
Yeah, probably more actually.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough.
Now, for the fans out there, we closed the quotes, but we did. We closed the office for 2 weeks. Of course, we're in the office.
Yeah. It's not. We didn't padlock it.
Okay. So close it for 2 weeks.
I feel like I've been here a lot.
And told everybody to go have some fun, because we looked at it and everybody had worked. Really, the average was like 117 or 118 days out of 120. It was just enormous, right? Yeah. So we said, okay, let's all take some time off. And actually, the guys made jokes. They're like, we don't know what to do with ourselves. Like, this is all that we do.
Wait, what do I do on Tuesday?
Yeah, I don't know. And I said, well, you know, just go have fun.
Go to the zoo. There's a new baby kitten.
Baby jaguar.
Baby leopard.
Baby. I don't know.
Some kind of cat.
No, it's just a cat that they're baby lying cat. To you about.
It gets bigger than your house cat, but it's a cat.
But, you know, you have to take the pedal off the metal at some point, right? You have to just sit back, relax. So even I'm going to go on a little vacation to Central Pennsylvania with the wife. Okay.
That's right. Exotic Central Pennsylvania.
Exotic Central Pennsylvania.
You bring in your beach towel.
I bring my beach
your towel. Your Mai Tai glass.
And we'll bring a fishing rod.
See, that makes more sense.
See, now it does.
Yep.
We're going to sit in there and we're going
to... Yeah, it'll be nice. Yeah. A little time with the family will be nice.
It will be.
Yeah. I don't have a set break, but I've spent a nice amount of time with the kids over the last day or two trying to just remind them that I exist.
The somewhat depressing part is that my vacation is 6 days. So it made me laugh. I'm like, I am taking a 6 day vacation now. Grant, I think this is a big deal.
Right? I don't remember the last time I've taken a six day vacation. Days. That's substantial.
So, and then we'll just come back and we'll do all the rest of the days for this.
Just do a lot of work.
I'm pretty excited about
that. It'll be good.
Okay, so. As we said before, Nick is raffling off a $10,000 prize.
We didn't say that.
Oh, okay. I'm going off script. I should stay on script.
We'll bring that. Yeah. Keep looking at the sheet of paper in front of you.
So how often are we going to record?
We're going to do this weekly, and we're going to get back into the swing of things with that in the off season. I think it'll be both enjoyable, hopefully, for the people who listen, useful for us.
Did you know I'm running for the PATA board? I'm running for boards this year. You're gonna run for some boards with me.
Oh, I'm gonna pick a couple.
We're gonna run for the USAU board.
Yeah, we'll run for a bunch
of boards.
I'd
like to run for that board. I mean, they shouldn't hate us that much. I'm gonna run for. This is the year of running for boards.
So we're just gonna run for lots of boards.
Lots of boards.
Lots of boards. Actually, I'm gonna be on some really weird ones. I'm just warning you right now.
Boards. People love us.
Small theaters.
You got good knowledge up in that nugget of yours.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So, all right, we're doing this every week. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, we'll certainly expect us to take a week off here or there when one or the other of us is away. There's going to be, I have a feeling, a whole lot of travel for us throughout the fall as we start to go out and do some partnership development work, work with some new investors who are coming on board, things like that. So we'll have to do a lot of moving around that may interrupt things. But our goal is to do this pretty much weekly. And I think it'll be, like I said, hopefully entertaining, but also I think good for us. I like these as a little regrouping session.
Okay. So, me too. So, you can hit us up at Twitter with your questions. What do you want us to hear us talk about?
Oh, ask questions.
Yeah. We really want to answer what the fans out there want to hear. So, at Cleats Cufflinks, tell us what you want to hear, and we'll rock it. So, until then, Nicholas.
Jeffrey, enjoy... enjoy Pennsyltucky.
And you enjoy sitting here waiting for me to come back. Being lonely without me.
I'll be so sad.
All right.
Tears in my eyes.
Till then.